CFAX 1070. Now, Pamela McCall on CFAX 1070.
Good morning. Thanks so much for being with us as we head into a long weekend. And welcome to Michael Mulligan, defense lawyer with Mulligan Tam Pearson Law Corporation. Nice to see you again.
Thanks for having me.
I understand you're up island presiding in court, or at least attending court on behalf of a client, and you got stuck in that Malahat schmozzle.
Yes, I spent about 45 minutes sitting in traffic on the other day following that accident. Happily, the judge was also from Victoria and stuck somewhere behind me, so it all worked out.
Didn't wonder why you were late. Hey. Yeah, for sure. Well, this has been a week of smackdowns on people making sexual taunts to reporters. First, an engineer who hurled sexual insults at a TV reporter has been fired by Ontario's Hydro One, losing his job, making over $100,000 as an engineer. And now we're learning that a Calgary man has been fined over $400 for shouting the same insult at a female reporter there. Let's start with this news out of Calgary. This guy was handed a ticket for stunting. How does that work?
That was an interesting and creative response to it. The ticket he was given was a stunting ticket under the Alberta Traffic Safety Act. Ordinarily, stunting would include those things like somebody doing a burnout at a stop sign, this sort of activity. The definition of it would be somebody who engages in activity that distracts, startles, or interferes with drivers under the Alberta Traffic Safety Act. So if the ticket is contested, I suppose one of the issues would be whether this conduct interfered with a driver in addition to the impact it would have on the reporter.
Well, I guess, you know, I was mulling over this morning, trying to get my head around how this would apply. But I'm thinking this was a passenger in the vehicle. So maybe the way they're getting around it is that he would potentially be distracting the driver with what he was saying.
That may very well be the theory. And
yeah.
Certainly a creative application of the Traffic Safety Act there.
Yeah. Well, it also just underscores, I mean, we are all over this story here. Lots of people interested and kind of divided over whether this guy in Ontario should have been fired. Let's frame this again, taken to task by a really savvy reporter who she'd had enough. And there's this utterance, which I can't repeat because it's so awful, that the yob, as they call them in England, uttered as she was live on air. She said, you know, she's hearing it all the time. She's had enough of it. And taking these guys to task, saying, why are you doing this? You know, and lots of people have seen it. And it's an absolute meathead piece of reaction. But it also is great that she took them to task on it. And so much traction on this story that Ontario's Hydro One, where one of the guys worked, lost his job. He made $107,000 a year. He was an engineer. Should he have lost his job?
Well, I think, first of all, I think the reporter handled it superbly. I can't imagine a better response to it than the one that she gave. So I thought that was great, first of all. With respect to Hydro One, certainly they made the right decision in terms of the public response to it. There may be a legal issue about whether they had cause to dismiss this person, but the starting point in employment law is that it's a contract, and somebody, an employer, is in most circumstances free to fire somebody for whatever reason they wish. If they find the person to be distasteful, they just don't like them, an employer can fire somebody. The issue becomes then whether the person would be due severance, and if so, how much.
So that's how it works. An employer is, I mean, no one is backing this guy and what he said, but what I'm hearing from you is that if your boss doesn't like the way you look, they obviously wouldn't state that, but you can get fired without due cause. What about that?
One thing to be determined is whether this person was a union member or not. If the person was a member of a union, you would need to look to the union contract to see in what circumstances somebody could be dismissed. And for example, in some union contracts, there may even be authority to order an employee reinstated if they were improperly fired. But if somebody is a non-union member, sort of somebody works in an ordinary job, Your employer is free to terminate you at any time with no cause because they don't like the color of your socks. The only issue would be whether the employer, if they terminate you for without cause, your sock color, for example, they would have to pay
you. That works? That flies, though? Sock color?
Sock color. They can simply say, look, we just don't like you anymore, and you're fired. The employer in that circumstance, though, would be required to pay the person severance, sort of money for terminating them without notice. Now, in that sort of an employment relationship, a non-union employment relationship, you can terminate somebody without any cause and without paying them money if you give them notice. So you could say to somebody, for example, I don't like your sock color, you're fired, but you can work here for the next whatever period of time would be appropriate given how long they've worked there for, and that would be the end of it. There would be no, you have no right to continue working there. The employer is no more obliged to continue employing you. If they decided they don't like you, then you're obliged to keep working for an employer that you decide you don't like because of their sock color.
Wow, I didn't realize that they had that power. I'm currently checking my sock color here and hoping that it's to my boss's liking. What do you think, CFAX listeners, about what you're hearing, the ability for an employer to fire you so easily? And do you think that this guy working for Ontario's Hydro One should have lost his job over foul-mouthed remarks made on live TV? 250-386-1161, star 1070 on your cell phone, or email address talk@cfax1070.com. You can also find us on Facebook. So when it comes down to it, we've been talking a lot about people being seen on social media in silly situations, I mean, beyond this, which was a foul-mouthed rant. And people questioning whether or not your employer can reach into your private life and have an issue with that. And you're saying, oh, yeah, they can.
They certainly can. Here, plainly, Hydro One made a good decision from a business point of view. Whatever the eventual conclusion would be about whether they had cause to dismiss him as a result of this conduct, they're free to do it. Subject to, for example, him being a union member with particular protections on how somebody could be dismissed. But if a person is doesn't have some particular protection like that, your employer could certainly see something in your private life on your Facebook page, decide that is distasteful to them, and they could simply say, that's it, you're no longer working here. Whether they had legal cause to dismiss you would determine whether you would be due any money in severance. But irrespective of that, your employer is quite free to say, look, I didn't like that picture of you drinking out of the beer bong on your Facebook page on the weekend. I just don't like it. And you're fired.
So people heading out for the long weekend, they're going to go camping. They might want to cut loose. Buddy takes a photo of said beer bong and posts it without your consent. That's, and your boss sees it, and it somehow is not to the liking of the image that the company wants to present, you could be out the door.
That's exactly right. The only issue would be, are you due any severance, right? And there are the way that would work is in each province there would be a Employment Standards Act which would set out a minimum amount of severance that somebody might be due. In British Columbia, the starting point under the British Columbia legislation is roughly 1 week for each year of employment would be the starting point. So if you'd worked somewhere for 5 years and your employer decided to terminate you because they didn't like the beer bong picture, you could be terminated without cause, and you might be due under the statutory scheme something like 5 weeks' wages, and that would be the end of it. Now, yeah, a person can also sue in court for wrongful dismissal, and a court might grant more than that statutory minimum. You might see, and the court would take into account things like the age of the fired employee, how long they'd worked there for, the seniority of their position, whether they were able to find other employment, those sorts of things. In cases, you might have somebody get, for example, a month a year, right, if you were successful in that sort of a civil claim. But even at that, if an employer just says, look, you know, I don't like the image of somebody saying atrocious things on social media or on television, even at sort of the higher end of that, if an employer said, look, this engineer has worked for us for 5 years. We just find his conduct to be completely offensive. We don't want to work with him anymore. Well, that's the end of it. They can fire him, and he might be due a few weeks or a few months' wages if they give him no notice, but that's the end of his job.
Wow. We're with Michael Mulligan, defense lawyer with Mulligan Tam Pearson Law Corporation. Stay with us. More to come right after this.
Join the CFAX conversation on Facebook. Pamela McCall on CFAX 1070. From the CFAX 1070 Community Cruiser, here's what's happening.
Experienced and new riders want it. Create or join a team at work for Bike to Work Week, May 25th to 31st. Not only free, you can win prizes. And join in for the Dauber Golf Classic. Tournament happens Friday, June 5th at Cedar Hill Golf Course. It's organized by the Greater Victoria Sports Hall of Fame.
Watch for our Kia Soul from Graham Kia on Government Street. CFAX 1070.
Tips from PowerSmart. Before using your new Energy Star washer, please remove the loose change from your pockets. Please double-check that you have emptied your change. Will you check properly? Please. Get up to $300 in rebates on selected Energy Star appliances until June 30. Before you buy, see which appliances qualify at powersmart.ca.
Are you working on a new reno for your home? Or are you building a brand new home? Are you thinking about your appliances yet? If not, you should be. Shop at Lansdowne Appliance, Victoria's designer's choice for the best deals and selection. How about a brand new Precision Dispense Whirlpool Duet Laundry Center? Or how about that amazing new Blue Star Gas Range? No matter what your appliance plans are, Lansdowne has you covered. Lansdowne Appliance, on the corner of Douglas and Kings and at lansdowneappliance.com.
I already have my hands full making sure my business runs smoothly. Good thing business banking with Van City is easy. I can do my banking online or with their mobile app. Plus, they have accounts that make it easier to manage cash flow, which means I can focus on the important stuff, like getting today's orders out the door.
At Van City, we see big value in small business. From smart advice to practical tools to flexible accounts, we have what you need to help your business grow. Visit vancity.com/smallbusiness. Van City. Make good money.
Okay, we'll take you there. BC Ferries Vacations has incredible offers from Vancouver Island to the Okanagan. Sample world-famous wine and soak in the desert sun. And when you book a two-night package by June 8th, get your ferry reservations absolutely free. Packages to Kelowna, Osoyoos, Penticton, and Vernon start from just $205 per person, double occupancy, and include return ferry, accommodation, and extras like wine tours. Your scenic journey awaits. Book your Okanagan retreat today at bcferries.com/vacations.
Our real estate market is hot. Have you noticed how fast the sold signs are going up? Wouldn't it be nice to have a commission break when a property sells so quickly? This is Kevin Ramsey, lead realtor of Fair Realty's Sweet Home Victoria real estate team. All of my listing contracts have commission reductions if the property sells within a month. A quick sale means less work and less advertising for me, and transferring the savings to you makes perfect sense. So remember, when it's time to sell your sweet home, go to sweethomevictoria.com or find Sweet Home Victoria real estate team in the yellow pages.
The 2015 Billboard Music Awards.
Tonight is about to be epic.
Hosted by Chrissy Teigen and Ludacris.
That's what I'm talking about.
With performances by
Britney Spears and Iggy Azalea, Ed Sheeran, Nick Jonas, John Legend, Meghan Trainor, Kelly Clarkson, Hozier, plus Mariah Carey, and Van Halen with David Lee Roth.
Watch live on CTV, the CTV Go app, or CTV.ca. The 2015 Billboard Music Awards. Sunday, May 17th on CTV.
CFAX 1070, winner of the 2015 Edward R. Murrow Award for Investigative Journalism, Victoria's Breaking News and Talk That Matters. CFAX 1070.
Good morning, I'm TJ Mullen. Coming up Saturday, May 23rd, out at the Selkirk Green Park and Waterfront Crescent is the Selkirk Waterfront Festival. It's a community celebration hosted by the Burnside Gorge Community Association. Some of the highlights for this year's event include a giant swing ride, fun inflatables, face painting, the International Food Court featuring tastes from all over the world, and all sorts of unique items for sale in the Artisan Craft Market. Sounds like a fantastic family fun afternoon out at the Selkirk Gorge Waterway. All the details for that can be found on our website, cfax1070.com.
when you need to make sense of it. It's Pamela McCall on CFAX 1070.
Welcome back. Thanks so much for being with us as we head into a holiday long weekend. My guest is Michael Mulligan, defense lawyer with Mulligan Tam Pearson Law Corporation. We're talking about the week of smackdowns on people making sexual taunts to reporters. An engineer who hurled sexual insults at a TV reporter has been fired by Ontario's Hydro One. And now we're learning that in Calgary, a man's been fined over $400 for shouting the same insult at a female reporter, some sort of traffic violation there. And we're talking about what it can take for an employer to get rid of you. And I want to go back to that moment. But there was also talk and a question from a listener here yesterday about whether or not, and you've seen the video of this woman basically taking on these yobs, whether or not criminal charges could be filed against these guys. I know I think they've been banned from the park where they made the comments, but
that's an excellent question. The section of the criminal code that would immediately come to mind is one that's causing a disturbance. That would be maybe the closest thing. But there's an interesting legal issue that arises there about what a disturbance is, and whether a disturbance, plainly what this fellow said was extremely disturbing to the reporter. The issue becomes, though, as a matter of law, whether the disturbance is a disturbance in a more general way. There was a case from British Columbia from 1992 that dealt with a similar issue. It dealt with a fellow who showed up at the Pacific Coliseum in Vancouver. He was a disgruntled Jehovah's Witness, and he took a bullhorn and started saying things into it which were designed to be disturbing to the Jehovah's Witnesses at the conference. The legal issue became whether the fact that the people in attendance were all understandably very disturbed by this fellow voicing his grievances about Jehovah's Witnesses over a megaphone from outside, whether that's what's meant in a criminal law sense by causing a disturbance. And ultimately, our Court of Appeal found that more than a disturbance of individuals is required, the criminal law requires that there be more than emotional upset and that there must be a manifest disturbance of the public peace. I think what they have in mind there is like a ruckus or a disturbance more generally. So there would be legal issues about whether this would amount to criminal conduct. I can imagine other possible sections that might be tried under the criminal code, but there would be real issues there. And that's why I think perhaps in the Calgary case, they tried on the Motor Vehicle Act provision.
When it comes down to it, though, what about sexual harassment? I mean, is there anything in the criminal code that would provide for charges under that?
The criminal code doesn't deal with sexual harassment. The criminal code would deal with things like uttering threats. If you threaten to cause violence or sexual violence to somebody, that would be an offense. It can be an offense if a person engages in criminal harassment, if you're doing things to somebody that cause them to reasonably fear for their safety. Or there's this provision dealing with causing a disturbance, which would depend on what's meant by disturbance. So there are things which potentially deal with it. In Ontario, as I understand it, the police looked into the matter, spoke to the reporter, and ultimately decided that the criminal law wasn't applicable there. They weren't going to recommend or pursue criminal charges.
I wonder if they could run an end game around that. If viewers are disgruntled, what would their ability be if they have been offended?
Well, the criminal law appears to require more than offense. Like in the case from British Columbia, this fellow was on the megaphone saying things to the gathering of Jehovah's Witnesses, which I'm sure all to the one of them would have found very disturbing. But it requires more than a person be disturbed by hearing the things. It requires a disturbance of the public peace for the criminal law to get engaged under that particular section.
Mm-hmm. So here we have it, as you say, sort of a clever, I guess lateral thinking in Calgary and how to deal with a guy that shouted the very same offense that the cost the Ontario Hydro One guy's job. by getting finding a traffic violation as a means to ticket this person. And it was interesting too because the camera person had zoomed in on, you know, the license plate of this vehicle, and that's how they were able to go after them, right?
The other thing, which I think is very important here, and perhaps one of the most significant things, is just how well this reporter dealt with it herself and the public response to it, right? Sometimes we hear about sort of negative implications of things occurring online. But here, the overwhelming and clear public reaction to this activity, the clear message that the public finds this activity to be abhorrent and unacceptable, that's incredibly important, right? The message could not be any clearer for somebody wanting to engage in this sort of gross conduct, that it is not tolerated by not only employers, but members of the public. So that response of identifying and publicly responding to people that are inclined to engage in this sort of behavior, in my judgment, is appropriate and I would hope effective at discouraging people from continuing with this.
But he didn't commit a crime.
Well, it's arguable. The police investigated it. They decided not to pursue the matter criminally. There would be legal arguments about whether this amounted to uttering a threat or whether it amounted to causing a disturbance or criminal harassment. All of those would be arguable. But here it strikes me the response, the public response and the response from the employer all seem like appropriate ones. So I would hope that that would have the desired effect of stopping this behavior.
Let's talk about being fired and what we're learning from you, and maybe people are more aware of this in terms of not having to have any real, legal reason to do it. If you just don't like the person, you can get rid of them. But are we going to see an increase based on social media activity and the spreading of pictures, sometimes unwillingly or unwittingly by others of people on their private time? Do you think we're going to see more firings that are based on this, and people are going to end up altering their behavior or choosing, you know, gated communities for their beer bong parties?
I think we will. We saw it in British Columbia with the riots, the hockey riot over in Vancouver, when people were identified, employers were responding by, in some cases, firing the employee. We've seen the pressure for sports leagues to deal with violence against women in terms of people who are sports players in the U.S. So it's an interesting thing, sort of the expanded role expected of employers to deal with the employees who are engaged in criminal or otherwise inappropriate conduct.
But where do we draw the line in what's inappropriate?
Well, that's for the employer to judge, much like it's for the employee to judge, right? If you're an employee of an organization that you concluded was engaged in unethical conduct or inappropriate conduct, even if it wasn't criminal, you might well say, look, I don't want anything more to do with this place. You know, if you worked for a company and you thought that they were doing things that were unsafe to the environment, or that they were treating fellow employees improperly, or they weren't doing something else you thought to be unethical or inappropriate, as an employee, one of the responses you might have would be to quit. As an employer, if you have employees who you become aware are engaged in inappropriate activity, which is like this, the response very well may be fire them.
But in the difference is, I think, is that employees aren't necessarily reaching into the private lives of their employers and deciding to eject because of that. And it's like we're at a turning point in history here in terms of your own time not being your own time. And now this goes well beyond what we're talking about with this guy and the horrible comments that he made to this woman reporter, two of them actually now, one in Ontario and one in Calgary. But in terms of what people might have to know in this day and age about how we operate, it sounds pretty Orwellian to me.
That's true. We live in a world now of Twitter and Facebook and things being posted and circulating like they never did before. Now, in the case of an employer, though, if they were to fire somebody for the beer bong picture they didn't like on their Facebook page, the potential consequence for the employer would be having to pay the person severance. So they may be on the hook financially for doing that, but how much they'd be on the hook would depend on things like how long have you worked there for,
right.
How senior are you, how old are you, and are you able to find another job? What money have you lost by being fired?
Right, so watch what you take pictures of this weekend. Fascinating stuff. Thank you once again. Always a pleasure. Been talking to Michael Mulligan. He is a defense lawyer with Mulligan, Tam, Pearson Law Corporation.